from the Merrimack Valley to
Mount Hope Bay.
iMassRadio.com.
Well, welcome to the inaugural edition of IMass Racing on IMass Radio. My name is Mark LeMay, and our first guest, none other than number 38, or should we, is there a new car number this year, Ricky?
No, it's still 38. We just get tagged with the New Hampshire added to it, so the Actor can issue the number 38 more than once.
So you're already letting everything out of the bag.
Yeah.
I'm gonna mess with it. Ricky Wolf joins us from Wolf Motorsports. Ricky, welcome to IMass Racing.
Thank you very much for having us, Mark.
For those of us who don't know you, tell us a little bit about you, a little bit about your background, and what got you into racing.
I started racing go-karts on a dirt track at the age of about 15. Raced karts for a few years, moved into 1200cc mini sprints, which also ran on the dirt. And I believe it was about 1994 we made the move to asphalt, just because we have a NASCAR sanctioned track, actually located pretty much in our backyard in Lee, New Hampshire. And so we made the switch to a street stock, and we ran the streeter for a few years and made a huge jump up to the pro stock division. And then I think it was about 2003 when Lee did away with the pro stocks. They were struggling with car count a little bit, and they formed what is now known, I guess, as the New England late model division. And we've been running that since 2003.
So is Lee considered your home track up until this season?
Yes, Lee would most definitely be where about 98 or 99% of my experience comes from on asphalt. We have practiced at some other facilities, including White Mountain Motorsports Park, which is up in North Woodstock, New Hampshire. I've also practiced at the former Star Speedway, which is now called All-Star Speedway, mm-hmm. in Epping, New Hampshire. But most of my racing experience, with a few exceptions, has come at Lee.
So I'm guessing if I ask you the question, which one is your favorite track, you're probably going to say Lee.
Yes, at this point I would absolutely have to say Lee. We've had some pretty good successes there in our many years supporting Lee. And hoping, who knows, maybe we'll have a new favorite track at the end of the summer. But we definitely have had a lot of good success at Lee.
Yeah, because a couple of weeks before you and I touched base, some news came out from Wolf Motorsports that you're going to be teaming up with a new team.
Yes, that's correct.
Tell me a little bit about that.
We're pretty excited. It's a fantastic opportunity, something that I've worked pretty hard for most of my racing career. And it actually, I've pretty much always owned my own equipment and obtained our own sponsors. And it's been a family-run deal basically since the beginning. And this season, the 2008 season, will mark the first time that I've actually driven for a car owner. And that would be Mark and Robin Willoughby. Willoughby Motorsports is based in Rochester, New Hampshire. And we're going to be driving one of their two entries on the 2008 Actor.
Now, tell me, from a team owner and from a car owner, what are the upsides and the downsides? Because, again, we don't see that stuff in the stands, and we don't see that in the press box. But what are the upsides and the downsides to being, you know, your own owner?
I guess, you know, obviously my ride was secure for all of these years. You know, footing the bills, you don't really have to worry too much about losing your ride, I guess. That was probably the biggest upside. You know, the downside would be, you know, you're stuck with all the bills. If you wreck your equipment, you know, you're paying for it. It's coming out of your racing fund. So you're always, when you own your own equipment, unless you're extremely wealthy, you are typically driving with your wallet. As much as you are your mm-hmm. gas foot. So,
and I would guess that you know, with the economy the way it is, it's funny. We have Hefner's gas stations down here in the Merrimack Valley in Massachusetts and southern New Hampshire, where I'm based.
Yeah.
And I drive by the one in Plastow around the Haverhill-Plastow line. And I see racing fuel at $5.99 a gallon.
Yeah,
that's a pretty expensive proposition.
Yes, it is. It's the racing fuel has gone up significantly in price, and I believe actually this year on the Actor, it's going to be they have a deal with Torco Racing Fuels, and the fuel is going to be, I believe, around $7 a gallon, Mark.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a tough nut to swallow as a solo team owner, car owner. Is it just the passion of the drive that keeps you going? Because one of the questions I want to ask all the drivers that I have on the show is, what's your day gig? Because racing doesn't pay the bills.
No, racing absolutely doesn't pay the bills. If anything, it creates a few extra. But yeah, I mean, the drive, the camaraderie with the crew is huge, the chemistry with the crew. Sometimes you have more fun working on the race car at the shop during the week than you do racing it. That's obviously not the norm, but there are weeks when that happens. So the drive definitely comes from within. I was very active in high school athletics. And, so had a competitive drive or competitive spirit from that. And basically, after the high school career was over, there were no college athletics, but I definitely was able to take that energy and focus it on my racing efforts. So it's something that I've always been around my whole life. And it's something that we can easily throw ourselves into.
Let's talk a little bit about last season. How did it turn out for you? What's been going on in the off season for you? Obviously, you're going to be, driving in a new car and driving for a new team. Let's review last season, though.
Sure. Last season, I'm not 100% sure of all of our statistics, but I believe we competed at Lee 18 or 19 times. Of that, we're in the top five, I believe, 10 times. So we had a relatively successful season. We started out real strong, and we hit a few bumps at mid-season, and then we're not running as nearly as well as we should have been at the end of the season, I think. We had tried some setup stuff that we thought was going to help us, and it didn't work as we thought, but we stuck with it. We thought it was worth the investment and effort. So we stuck with it and learned a few things. But we ended up the season, I believe, we did secure two wins. Two NASCAR Weekly Racing Series wins, so that was a very positive thing for us. We finished, I believe, third overall in points for the season, which was a good run. And we also received the Sportsmanship Award at the season-ending banquet, which was it's voted on by your competitors and track officials.
That's going to be something special right there.
It definitely is. It's something that our team is very proud of. It's nothing that you can really do on purpose. You go there and you work hard and you try to promote good sportsmanship and, be a good competitor. It's hard, You're in these 2,800 pound cars going 100 miles an hour and trying to be courteous.
I've always wanted to ask this question. I'm going to steer you off track for a second.
Sure.
No pun intended.
Sure.
What is, because I had the luxury two seasons ago of the blessing, I might say, of shadowing John Spence up in the booth.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And it's different from our perspective. First off, we're going to have John Spence on a future podcast.
Oh, good for you. John is a resource for New England racing, that's for sure.
It was mind-boggling to stand near him, where he could be looking off into the sunset, and he's talking about drivers, fathers, uncles who drove in this series back in the 50s, and I'm sitting here going, really? How do you know this? And so... The question I have for a driver is, what is going through your mind as you're lapping around the track? Does it vary from corner to corner? Does it vary from your position on the track? All the above, none of the above?
I think it's a combination of all of those, Mark, really. Speaking personally for myself, I'm sure different drivers have different styles, but personally for myself, it's just focusing on hitting my marks. I mean, having run Lee so long, you know where you're supposed to be on the track, but trying to carry the most speed that you can and hit those marks on the track, entering the corner through the middle and coming up off the corner to the straightaway, you obviously want to be accelerating as hard as you can without breaking traction or forcing the front end of the car to push. I basically break the track. Each lap gets broken down into six segments, and it's entering through the middle and exit of each end of the speedway, and that's basically how I break down my laps. The focus for me is extreme. I mean, it's very important. Obviously, sometimes you have a car in front of you that's in the preferred lane. And you either have to pony up and find a way around them in the outside lane if you're fortunate enough to have your car handling well enough, or you have to hope that they make a mistake and slide up out of the lane that you need to make your car run well. So it's a pretty intense environment, really. And as I said before, extremely competitive. For the most part, the drivers You know, everyone maintains a pretty decent relationship. I mean, there are ups and downs and bumps. You know, you see it in big time racing all the time, where relationships, you know, can take a turn. I mean, I think last weekend was a perfect example with Kevin Harvick and Tony Stewart, you know, best of friends, and they kind of got collected at the end of the race, but I'm sure they'll move on. And even at the short track levels, basically the same thing happens the majority of the time. So it's definitely an environment that keeps you on your toes.
Is that an advantage to having, let's say, Lee as your home track, so you sort of get to know the quirks of the track?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it's an advantage being, you know, intimately familiar with the racing surface even. I mean, Lee's a fantastic speedway, beautiful facility, owned by Red and Judy McDonald, and they do a great job of keeping it in A1 environment. You know, the surface there is fairly old, the racing surface, and it has given up a tremendous amount of bite. So, you know, there's all kinds of different things. You know, it's important to know what the track does when it cools down or when it's real hot, and you can make adjustments in your car that someone that doesn't run there every week may not do. You know, so I'd like to think you can have a little bit of an edge, but at the same time, I say that, you know, we had a young guy come in from the Actor last summer two times, Ryan Nolan, and he smoked us both times he showed up. So much for the home track advantage, I guess.
Let's talk a little bit about the ACT Tour. What enticed you to ride in the ACT series this year?
Basically, I have, especially the last 5 or 6 years, I've been extremely interested in traveling and facing the challenge of running different tracks. Funding has always been an issue. It's been something that's, you know, it's very difficult to secure sponsorship to run weekly, never mind to run a touring series. So, you know, the ACT Tour to me, for the kind of cars that we run a, it's a late model, it's a fully fabricated chassis, and the ACT Tour and Lee's rules basically mirror the ACT rules, so the cars are pretty much interchangeable. You know, you can run Lee on a Friday night and turn around and go and run an ACT Tour race on Saturday if you have the financing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, in terms of the kind of cars that we race, the ACT Tour is probably the pinnacle of what we do, and that includes the competition level. I mean, they've got some unbelievable teams that compete on that tour each year, and they, you know, that's who you want to measure yourself up against. You know, obviously this year for us, it will be probably one of our biggest challenges will be probably qualifying for the races. I mean, they will get, it varies from track to track. Some of the tracks that the ACT Tour visits, like Lee, for example, you know, Lee may have 15 or 18 weekly competitors that try and get into the show, along with maybe as many as 30 or 35 ACT cars.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden you have 50-plus cars competing for a field of probably 28 or 30. So you have almost half of that field going home. So versus at Lee on a regular Friday night, where you're pretty much guaranteed to make the main event. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, I guess, if you will.
Well, it's a graduation for you, it would seem. It's a natural progression, I would guess.
Yes, I think so. You know, it's something that we've been hoping to do for a long time. Again, I mentioned my sponsors, BG Environmental, Bob and Gil Knowlton, out of Rochester, New Hampshire. They've been a loyal sponsor of our team since 2002. They came on board and basically saved our 2002 season. So since then, we've had a real good working relationship with Bob and Gil, and we've become pretty good friends. And they actually, it's kind of funny the way the whole ACT opportunity played out, they have in the past sponsored Willoughby Motorsports and their efforts on the Busch East Series.
So a lot of synergy there.
Right, exactly. Actually, I think I misspoke there. I think it's now the Camping World East Series. I can't keep up with all of the changing.
See, if this were NASCAR,
there,
you'd be putting a dollar in the kitty. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You're putting a buck in the till. I mean, you gotta get the sponsor right, man.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt about it. We're fortunate as well. I mean, Bob and Gail will be the primary sponsors of my racing effort this summer. And I also have a strong associate sponsor ship package involving Waste Management and Dennis Ciotti Racing Products. So it takes the whole package. I mean, you have to have the sponsorship. You have to have the owners. You know, you have to have a great group of guys that are willing to put in a lot of time for very, very little pay or no pay in many instances to get the car out there and be on top of its game and competitive every week. So it does take a lot, even at the local weekly level,
mm-hmm,
and now the touring level to get the job done.
We're talking here on IMAS Racing with Ricky Wolf from Wolf Motorsports. Ricky, I want to talk now about the crew. Again, anybody who knows the local racing scene knows that the crew, in some cases, works for beer.
Right.
Beer and burgers. Absolutely. Or coffee after the race. You know, everybody pulls over to that Dunkin' Donuts on the way down from Lee. Let's talk about your crew.
I've been blessed over the years to work with a great group of guys. Many of them have been with me for several consecutive years. Some will support the race efforts for three or four summers, and then, you know, have personal commitments, family and such, work often, that come up, and, you know, they'll have to take a summer off. But lots of times they have a hard time staying away. So, you know, we'll be fortunate to get their help again. And chemistry is so much. It seems like it's over-talked about at times, but I don't think it can be mentioned enough. I mean, in 2004, when we were still teamed up with Jerome Canny, who was my crew chief basically since the 2000 season, through our efforts with pro stocks and late models. Jerome put a great car underneath me each week with the help of six or seven guys that were at the shop, you know, three or four times a week working on the car. And that's why we ran so well when we won the NASCAR New England Regional in 2004. Is I really believe we had the best prepared machine, and our guys had been working together for years, and everything clicked. We all had our specific jobs, and everyone did them. And then if there was anything else to do, if, you know, driver screwed up and wrecked the car, say, we
that
would
never
delegate.
Never happens, does it?
Never happens. No, it's always somebody else's fault, I guess. But hypothetical there.
Of course.
We split up the jobs, and I've been fortunate. At this time, it looks like I'm going to be carrying a lot of my crew that I've had supporting my efforts at Lee the last many years. And, we're beginning to gel together. I'll have a new crew chief this year in Jason Horn. Jason's 26 years old, a fairly young guy. And, his experience and background has come from the Camping World East Series, NASCAR Camping World East Series.
There you go.
And, yeah, see, no dollar on that one. he has a very extensive background and is a great fabricator. And he actually works for Mark and Robin at Willoughby Motorsports. In their efforts. So, it definitely takes a large group of people, everybody doing their own part to make it all happen.
You know, the other side to this that I'd like to mention and talk about when we talk about your crew is you also have a family.
Absolutely.
And to some extent, being a father and a husband and, you know, family man, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to, you know, mention your family because, you know, Friday nights, Saturdays, and you're going to be doing a lot more traveling this season.
Absolutely.
Talk about the commitment that your family has put into it.
I've been extremely blessed in that department as well. My wife, Tracy, is 100% behind my racing efforts. She travels with me everywhere. She helps me stay organized at home, particularly when we were running our own equipment, you know, the financial end of things. She typically took care of that, keeping me organized, which is no small task, and also pitching in at the track. So the support, without the support of my wife, it would be very hard. It would be impossible, frankly, to pull it all off. Now, we have a little girl, Elizabeth, who's a little over 2 years old now, and we're actually expecting our second midsummer,
well,
right around the time of the Oxford 250, a little boy we just found out.
Oh,
so,
congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much. It's definitely, we've been blessed, in regards to that. And it can't happen without the support of family. And, I mean, it goes back to my parents. It was a normal thing for Friday nights at Lee to have my parents, my brother, sister-in-law, grandmothers, nieces, nephews, cousins. You know, there'd be anywhere between 25 and 30 people in the stands. And it was almost like a family reunion, you know, every Friday night. So that support is what makes it happen. It's hard. You know, I mean, this time of year, or basically year-round, you're working, we've been working on the new car, actually. Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And anything else in between that you have to do. So it definitely punches a big hole. And for me, that's working nights after my regular day job. It makes for some long days, but it's also worth it in the end.
What is your regular day job, by the way?
My regular day job, actually, I'm a project manager for a civil and structural engineering firm, Quantum Construction Consultants, located in Concord, New Hampshire.
Might as well get a plug in for them because, you know, I'm sure you say to the boss, "Hey, boss, I got to bug out of here a little early. I got to do something," or, you know, so it doesn't hurt to get a little plug in for the boss as well. So
no, absolutely, my boss is fantastic. She's extremely flexible with my schedule. You know, I get my time in. I make sure my job is complete before I leave the office. But you're absolutely right. I mean, lots of times, you know, basically running Lee, as you know, they run Friday nights. And it's hard to get out of work early, you know,
especially
on a Friday.
You're in Concord, you said?
I'm sorry?
You're in Concord, you said?
Yes, I work in Concord and live in Northwood.
Ooh, that's a haul.
Yeah.
Over to Lee, so I mean...
Exactly. Wow. So, you know, to get all that done on a Friday, you know, I had my schedule set up in the past that basically, you know, I'd be out of work between 10 and noontime, 10 in the morning and noontime on Fridays, and then quick stop at home, pick up my gear, say hello to my wife and child, and then right off to the race shop to get loaded up and get ready for the evening's races. So,
you know, if you hit 125 at the wrong time, you're in trouble.
Yes, you are.
You're about a month away from hitting the track. What are you doing in the last couple of weeks?
We're basically putting the finishing touches up on our on the chassis we're going to be running this year. We've been going pretty hard at it. We got a late start with our ACT deal, so we've been trying to make up for lost time. And so we're just putting the finishing touches on it. You know, we're painted and pretty much together. You know, making some good progress in that area. So, and there are two cars in our shop as well. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention. Pretty excited about my teammate for this year, Bobby Dragon. A longtime veteran of the New England exhaust circuit, is going to be my teammate, and I'll be relying on Bobby very heavily at a lot of these tracks I'm going to be going to trying to qualify on after probably 2 15-minute practice sessions. So I'll be following Bobby as closely as I can for as long as I can keep up with him, trying to figure out the fast lane around some of these tracks. So, yeah, it's definitely it's a team deal.
Well, if it's any sign or, you know, a blessing, you open the season at Lee.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's sort of an easy way into the season, considering it's your track of preference.
Yes, exactly. You know, it probably couldn't be in a better situation in terms of the start of the schedule, or at least for the first race. Lee has scheduled a practice weekend on April 12th, I believe, with a rain date of Sunday. So if we get rained out on Saturday, we'll try to practice on Sunday. And then the opening race is April 20th, and they also have a practice day prior to that on April 19th. So hopefully, weather allowing, we still have quite a bit of snow on the ground up here. You know, hopefully, weather allowing, we'll be able to hit those practice sessions and more just shake this new chassis down so I can get a good feel in it, start to get some decent track chemistry going with Jason, make sure our communication is where it needs to be, and hopefully get our car on the show.
Reggie Wolf, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I'll try to catch up with you at one of the races, whether it's Lee or one of the other tracks this summer, and don't be a stranger over the season. Feel free to keep us posted with what's going on.
I will definitely do that, Mark, and please come by and see us.
That'll do it for this edition of IMAS Racing. Thanks for listening in. I'm your host, Mark LeMay. We'll catch you again next time.